Tweet at TodaySOR.
And you can text us on 51551 as well. One caller there saying, great to hear those young men becoming priests. Well done, lads. Now, there is what you might call a war on the shore brewing in the West following the sale of a state-owned seaweed processing company to a Canadian multinational. Local seaweed harvesters are concerned that they will be pushed out as commercial pressures grow, but other people welcome the sale and the potential investment in the industry. For more on this, I'm joined by Ella McSweeney. Ella, we're not talking oil or gas here. We're talking seaweed.
We're talking seaweed, yeah. But I mean, it's big business, much, and increasingly so. I mean, we are a long way from when, and a very valuable thing it was indeed, when in the 40s and 50s, farmers would have gone down to the shore and taken seaweed and used it to fertilise their land.
The Bull McCabe knew a bit about seaweed and its value, didn't he?
Indeed, God made the world, but seaweed made that field boy, you know. So there, we're a long way from that. Seaweed is incredibly valuable. It's invaluable in terms of a food for humans, high nutrient value, very valuable. For a food for animals and farming, particularly pigs and pigs in the area where you want to pull pigs off dependence on antibiotics. Seaweed increasingly has been seen as a very good prebiotic. Medical products, cosmetics, brewing agents, soil conditioners. Asia is a huge market. The world market is in and around upwards of 5 billion, and that's increasing every year. So,
that's,
you know,
products derived from seaweed. And yeah. Clearly we have a lot of it, but have we? And we have different kinds around the place.
I mean, we have something like 500 species around our shores, and there's estimated 100,000 tons of seaweed washed up on the West Coast every day.
And still very few places where you can have the seaweed bath.
I think Enniscrone and Lahinch and those places.
But anyway, now there's a company at the heart of this dispute. It's a state-owned one, Aramara Cho. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's based in Kilkeeran in Connemara, and it was set up in 1947 in recognition of the fact that seaweed had value. Sort of post-war times when fertiliser, there was dependence on using seaweed for fertilising and producing food. And obviously in the West Coast, you would have very pure seaweed coming from the Atlantic. There's no sort of history of huge industrialisation over there, obviously, so of huge value. Now, harvesters picked the seaweed, they sold it to this state company, and then it was processed, and then it was supplied to various industries. In 2006, Údaráis na Gaeltachta was given all the shares by the government, so they sort of they ran that company. They said that in order to develop it, that it needed investment, and so a few months ago, they sold it.
Were there many people, or are there many people employed in it?
Yeah, I think I could be wrong. I think Aramara has in and around 20, 25 people employed there. Seaweed is a really, I hate these words, emerging industry, but it really is. I mean, there's an awful lot of interest, both in terms of scientific interest, NUI Galway being at the forefront, but also an awful lot of companies, Irish-owned companies who are interested in
using seaweed.
Yeah,
and there are cosmetic products and others of the kind you described. But yeah. Up to now, I mean, who has been picking the seaweed?
So there's 300 or so what I call traditional seaweed harvesters. And these are people who've maintained family rights to seaweed along the shore for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And these are called stripes. Now, Sean Baba Jack O'Connella is one such harvester. I joined him in beautiful, gorgeous Lettermore, which is a little island off Connemara. And he went picking with me.
Oh, yeah, you just have a knife and a sharpening stone. You have to sharpen the knife before you start cutting.
You make sure all the time that you will leave the seaweed behind you. You know that it will grow faster. You leave about 2 inches on the rocks.
Sean, this is your, what they call your stripe.
Yeah, this is my stripe now. From the rock down there where the rope is, right up here until this rock here, we have the rice that we were cutting it, looking after the stripe. But the government is saying now that we should have a license to cut the seaweed. Now they know there's big money to be done, these big companies coming in.
Licenses, is that a new thing then?
Licenses, yeah. I mean, legally, I suppose the big question is who owns the right to seaweed around the shores of Ireland? And, you know, the answer is, it's a bit muddled, but the answer is effectively it's all of us in that. Traditionally, the seaweed harvesters and their families would have held this right through this sort of this stripe system. They're governed by the 1933 Foreshore Act, which says that the state owns all the material on the shore, not just seaweed, but all the material on the shore between the high and the low water mark. And that anyone who harvests must get a license from the state. But that has never been put into practice. So from the 1947 onwards, these harvesters had a sort of very casual relationship with Aramara. They didn't have a license. They went out, they harvested when they needed a bit of money and they sold it in. So the difficulty, I suppose, is that for 67 years, the state company hasn't bought seaweed from these seaweed harvesters who've had licenses. And yet now, because it has been sold to a Canadian multinational, this is what the requirement is.
So maybe there's a fear, or clearly there's a fear, Ella, I should say, that things are going to get maybe legal, forms will have to be filled, and people will lose traditional harvesting rights.
Yeah, I mean, they would see it very much as an unspoken, that you know, this stripe is theirs. Professor Michael Geary, who would be a world expert on seaweed there in UI, said that it is a matter for legal dispute, and that until this is tested in court, no one really knows whether the harvesters have legal rights or not. I mean, prior to the sale, Aramara applied for a licence from the state for rights to certain seaweed, commercially valuable seaweed species. And some people say this had to happen before the sale had any value. And so it raises questions. I suppose it also raises possible questions for the Competition Authority in terms of having complete control over the seaweed on the West Coast.
And have there been assurances given to the traditional harvesters that nothing is going to change?
There's been spoken assurances given, and I think that probably there's such a lack of trust at the moment that they just don't believe what they're hearing. I mean, you know, Udaros have said that without a licence, the harvesters who have traditionally supplied Aramara will face a challenge in accessing seaweed. And I suppose the bigger context here is there's an awful lot of special areas of conservation. There are limits on how much seaweed you can take off the shore, because it's also, you know, obviously it's there because it's got a huge environmental benefit as well. I mean, they sold the company because they needed the money in the context of Ireland at the moment.
What did they get for it, by the way?
Well, this is the problem. We don't know, because Udaros won't tell us. The government won't tell us. And it is, as Marion Harkin, MEP, said, the sale was shrouded in secrecy. Udaros have said to me that they will publish their annual report for 2014 next year, and that's when I will find out how much they sold it for.
And you've spoken to an Udaros spokesperson, yeah?
This is Udaros. This is Mr. James Keogh.
The investment required to process seaweed and add value is very high, and you will not get anybody to invest in that sector if there isn't a guaranteed supply of seaweed into the future. What we're talking about here is harvesting of seaweed for commercial resale, and that is something that we think must be regulated purely in the interest of the sustainability of the harvest, for no other reason. We don't wish to see any harvester not able to get seaweed put on his land as he did for years.
So is there anybody in favour of the sale, apart from the people who've sold it and bought it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the point is well got, in that they needed, investment was needed. The question is why, for example, it wasn't advertised openly, which Udaros has confirmed that this sale wasn't advertised openly. But they say because they weren't required to do so. Now, Professor Michael Geary, who I mentioned earlier, seaweed expert from NUI Galway, is positive about this sale.
It will mean that we will have an international player now who will be able to get us competing in an international context, which will mean, hopefully, that the harvesters will get more money for their seaweed. And by the way, would you like to cut 5 or 6 tons of that now for 38 euros a ton? So we need to get the money up for the harvesters, or people will stop cutting it. But in order to do that, the company and others have to get more money for the seaweed on the marketplace.
So that's Professor Mike Geary there from NUI Galway, Ella. What about the new Canadian owners? What do we know about them, and what have they had to say for themselves?
Yeah, they're a very big player. And for Irish companies in this market here, they would say that Acadian would be their biggest competitor. So they are also concerned about the control they will then have over the seaweed harvesting rights in the west of Ireland. You know, they have appeared before Oireachtas committees. They have said that they will work with the harvesters. But in fairness to Acadian, I mean, they're a company, they're a multinational company that makes money, and that's their priority. They need access to seaweed, and in buying this company, presumably wanted in some way to know that they would have access to that seaweed as well. So I suppose the big question is the involvement in Uderos, the contract that was signed, why we can't find out how much it was sold for, and the kind of conditions associated with that contract are important to know.
Right, and to come back to people like, say, Sean Baba Yako Conaila there at Lettermore, is it likely he'll still get an involvement, or could there be a mechanisation of the harvesting?
This is another question, and it's one that also is important from an environmental point of view, in that, for example, in Norway, they would have had a tradition of hand harvesting, which is very sustainable. They moved to mechanised harvesting. Now, I've been told that this is not going to happen on the west coast of Ireland. It's hard to see how a multinational company who needs a secure, stable supply wouldn't be interested in moving to that. But we've been told that won't happen. I mean, Sean Baba Jack would say hand harvesting is the most, the gentlest way you can do it, you know.
Okay, well, look, we'll leave it there. But you have more on this, obviously, tonight on Ear to the Ground. That's on RTÉ One Television at 8:30. Ella McSweeney, thanks for joining us.